We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's right. It is now 9:08 and time for Center Stage. All things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it, darling. So if you're sitting out at your cabin and you're listening, honey, we have some guests for you tonight. Some that I didn't know anything about, and I'm looking forward to introducing them to myself and to you. First, I want to say thank you so much to Chanhassen Dinner Theaters for presenting Center Stage every Sunday night. Thank you, Chanhassen. And by the way, they have amazing tribute shows. I'm not kidding you. You can just go to ChanhassenDT.com and really look at the shows that they do in the smaller room. But in the main room is Grease. That is playing now through October 28th at the Chanhassen. Again, ChanhassenDT.com. Also, Sunday in the Park with George is playing now through August 20th at the Guthrie Theater. You heard Rohan Preston and I talking about that last Sunday. Shrek the Musical is now through July 30th at Hopkins Center for the Arts. Also, Might as Well Be Dead is through July 30th at the Park Square Theater. And Guardians of Fallacy, Executive Disorder, is now through October 28th at the Brave New Workshop. We talked about that last week as well. Well, my first guest, I'm very excited about it because I love Motown. You want to hear a little bit? Here goes. Oh, you know who it is. Oh, oh yeah. ABC, darling. Backed by popular demand, Motown the Musical returns to Minneapolis July 11th through the 16th. That's right. All your favorites will be playing, honey. Before you break. Oh, they are closing out the 2016 and 2017 Bank of America Broadway on Hennepin season at the Orpheum Theater. The musical includes more than 60 beloved hits from the Motown catalog. I just can't get enough of it. I saw it the last time I was in town. Fabulous. Seriously, you guys, you got to run see it. Well, joining me to talk about this is Jared Howelton. He has the week off from the tour, which is in the South right now, but they pick things back up in Minneapolis a week from Tuesday. Jared, welcome to WCCO.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. Okay, you have a week off. How do you get your mind and your body to relax for a week?
Well, it starts with flying back to Texas and having a home cooked meal and a bed as a family.
That's fantastic. You know, home cooked meal and a bed. A lot of times you just don't want to get out that bed, do you, for that week? So God bless you for having a week off. Every artist needs that time off, so I know you'll use it well. So here you come. Motown the Musical is coming back to the Twin Cities. Were you here for the run that was here like a year ago or 2 years ago?
No, but there are some of the same people in this current cast that were on that last tour. There is a little bit of newer people that have joined the cast.
Mm-hmm. And you are part of the company?
I am part of the company. I'm in the show.
Okay.
I play Dennis of the Temptations, Ronald of the Miracles. I'm in the Commodores. I play one of the Holland Brothers. I'm pretty busy.
Okay, so like you have some of the hardest stuff to do. Seriously, I mean, there's such beloved songs. You know, the wonderful thing about this particular show is that we're all singing along throughout the entire show. They bring up all of the hits, like we said, 60 beloved songs from this catalog. And I've always thought, well, why wasn't this song in or why wasn't that song in? When you joined this cast, which, by the way, was when?
So I joined this cast recently for this year's tour. I'm very new to the show. I started in January on this tour, but I have a lot of friends that were in the Broadway show and mm-hmm. then the other tours. I've heard many stories about how they struggled to find which songs to put in the show because there's just so many to pick from. I think it was over 100 when they started workshopping the show, but they brought it on down to 60.
Yeah, and I don't know how they did that, seriously, in the time that's allotted. So tell me, Jared, how old are you, may I ask?
Yes, I'm 24.
And the reason I ask is because these are iconic songs for my generation. And for you, did you fall in love with this music as soon as you heard it, or did it take time?
Well, this is all thanks to my father and my mother, who played nothing but Motown, disco, and Christian music when I was a kid. So I had no say in the matter.
Right.
But luckily, I got to know it before the show.
So you were familiar with it, and to bring forth those iconic songs, how do you prepare? You have to the nuances of each person that you're singing, the lead, whether it's Lionel Richie or, you know, the Temptations, whoever it is that you're presenting, you have to also have some of those nuances. That's what we're looking for as an audience member. So how do you prepare for that?
Well, it's just making sure you take care of the body, because the body is my instrument for, you know, what I do. And so it's just warming up the body, warming up the voice, just getting into my mind. Sometimes I like to play a little bit of the Motown music on my headphones on the way to work. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of just getting my body into the show and getting ready for it.
Well, this is Back by Popular Demand, July 11th through the 16th. And we're just so excited that it's closing out this year, the 2016-2017 season. I do have to say, though, when I read about how many people have auditioned for this, did you audition more than once? Because 7,500 people have auditioned for the show at open calls. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's nuts. A lot of people and a lot of actors love to be a part of the show, and I'm just blessed to be a part of it. But yeah, I only auditioned honestly for the show one time, and my agent gave me a call saying they want to see me again, and you know, a lot of that process of being seen again, and then Mr. Gordy himself saw my video audition tape, and then, you know, sooner or later I got the call.
Well, congratulations on that. And you booked,
and
like I said, you're singing some of the songs that Lionel Richie and the Commodores made so famous. Have you had him come to see the show at all? Has he seen you in the role? Do you know?
Well, we actually, when we were in L.A., we had Smokey Robinson come and visit the show, and a few others. I know throughout the other tours and Broadway, there's, you know, of course, Stevie Wonder and Diana Ross and the Holland Brothers and Mickey Stevenson. There, yeah, a lot of Motowners come in and out of seeing the shows every now and then. So I was very fortunate to meet some of the actual people of Motown.
We had an unusual play that opened up here in the Twin Cities last year. I don't need to talk about that, but what was interesting to me is that the director decided to literally put them on the bus and go on a tour of all of the places that they're talking about so that they could get a feel for it. Did you by any chance ever visit Detroit, or was it mandatory for you to have the role to go to Detroit and really visit, you know, Hits USA and just find out more about it and feel the passion of the city?
Well, it was actually a blessing, because we went through Detroit again for 2 weeks. So we did the show in Detroit, and then the whole cast and crew did a day field trip to the Motown Museum, and we just saw everything. We just soaked ourselves up with Motown history. So we did, as a matter of fact.
All right. Good enough. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Jared. I wish you well with the opening of this show here. Minnesota is going to, we love this show, so we're very excited about it. I hope to see you there. This is happening July 11th through the 16th. Congratulations to you, and I wish you well at the show at the Orpheum. I think you're going to love Minnesota.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too.
All right. Well, I have to tell you guys, you know, HennepinTheaterTrust.org, of course, is the website. We know it. We love it. And we go and see a lot of shows there. But if you don't get over it, if you want to laugh and smile a lot where your cheeks hurt and you want to sing along and dance some of this pain out that you're experiencing every day in the news, Motown the Musical is one of those shows you definitely want to go and see. So go check it out. Again, just go to HennepinTheaterTrust.org. You can call the box office at 800-982-2787. Again, that's 1-800-982-2787, and it plays again July 11th through the 16th. We're going to take a break and then come back with Rohan Preston, lead theater critic over at the Minneapolis Star Tribune. It is now 9:18 here at WCCO. Before we join, have Rohan join us, I want to mention that the Steels are at the Dakota tomorrow night. Again, this is our way of celebrating freedom and independence, and we hope that you will come out and really release yourself, honey. You know, bring your dancing shoes. We're going to have a blast at the Dakota. If you want a ticket, tickets are still available at dakotacooks.com, dakotacooks.com. If you are in town, we'd love to see you down there. All right. Lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune is joining us, Rohan Preston. How you doing, Ro?
I'm well, thanks. Happy holidays to you. Happy Independence Day to you.
Is it happy?
Well, fireworks are happy. Picnics are happy, you know.
Family is happy.
So, yes.
Okay, good enough. I'm going to accept that. I'm going to just kind of let that, you know, simmer in my heart and brain, okay?
Okay.
You had a chance to go over to Park Square, and you got a chance to see Idiot's Delight?
I did. You know, the company that produces it is was co-founded by Kirby Bennett, and it's a company called Girl Friday Productions,
mm-hmm.
and they produce a show about every 2 years, biennially, or as we like to say, the life cycle of a cicada. They just come out and they make a big splash, a lot of noise, and then they go dormant again and build up energy and come back in 2 more years. So they've been doing this kind of work now for since I think it's been about 2005. And they've won an Ivy Award for a show that they did. They've done street scenes. They've done other types of shows like that. So this year they're doing Idiot's Delight.
How about that? That was a movie, right?
It was a movie in the 30s. It starred Clark Gable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you just pause when you say that, honey.
Well,
I had a crush on him. I did. Until my brother started looking like him. You know, Fred looks like him.
He does, and he has a mustache, too.
I know. So. Just messed up my crush. Good Lord.
Uh-oh.
Couldn't you look like somebody else? But, yeah, oh, my gosh. You know, we call him Dark Gable for a reason. Okay, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's very funny. And so this show was written in the mid-30s, and it's set in a border resort where all these international people are trapped because war is about to break out. So they're people from the U.S. and from Italy and Austria and elsewhere, all trapped there. And there's even a Russian who may or may not be a royal, you know, survivor of the
mm-hmm.
Bolshevik purges. So.
Wow. Well, that makes sense for it to be playing right now. And by the way, the movie came after the play, right?
It did. It came a year after.
Okay. Yeah. So this particular film and the play, when you've seen this before, right?
You know, I've never seen the play before. No.
Oh.
It's not widely produced.
It's not like My Fair Lady or something like that.
No. It's Robert Sherwood. It won the Pulitzer. Robert Sherwood is a playwright. It's first of all, it has a big cast, and it navigates or hangs in the middle ground between a comedy and a serious drama. It starts out comic and paced like a comedy, and it ends. With tragedy as war is breaking out.
Wow. Well, that's where we are today. That's what it sounds like. I hate to say that all the time, but oh my goodness, just amazes me because, you know, people plan for these theaters. They plan for these particular plays way well in advance. You know, it takes a lot of doing. It takes, and then all of a sudden it's on the stage and you realize, wow. But it gives us pause. That's for sure.
It does. And you know, and I have to say, by the way, it's the production stars Stacia Rice and John Middleton, two very, very fine actors.
Mm-hmm.
They do a great, great job in this show. The production itself is mixed. Beautiful design. It's at Park Square, Girl Friday. This is the most polished design-wise production that I've seen them do. Because
mm-hmm.
it's set in the cocktail lounge of a resort, and it's really pretty.
So if people want more information, they can just go to Park Square. I think it's parksquaretheater.org. Let me make sure I have that right. Yes, Park Square Theater with a T-R-E at the end, .org.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rohan, I also have to ask you, about Circus 1903. Did you get a chance to go see that last week?
I didn't see that. You know, it played last weekend at the Ordway.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses puppets and all the showgirls. Did you get a chance to see it yourself?
I did get a chance to see it. It only had two puppets in it, the very large elephant and then the very small baby elephant. And so they did a pretty good job presenting those and having the workings. But the inner workings were pretty obvious to all of us. We could see the puppeteers underneath, and they weren't dressed in black like they were for Lion King, you know, where everything's covered up. They were just in their costumes and clothing, you know, street clothing, that sort of thing. So that was a little, you know, I put off a little bit. But the piece is really, I thought it was going to have the backstory of the circus, you know, because it really is a period piece, huh?
From that era, I was going to say.
Yeah, so I thought we were going to hear all these stories about what happens to, you know, the cast, what happens to them when they're trying to relax or when they're traveling. And there was no backstory. Literally, it was a show about the circus. It was a circus show. It was just like going to the circus. That's what it was. So I was really surprised at that.
Do you feel cheated a little bit?
Well, I didn't pay for the tickets, so that's not fair. You know, seriously, I'm so grateful that I was able to get tickets. And for one thing, that it was something to see. You know, they did have some I think the juggler was really quite remarkable, but I just was stunned by that it was just a show, because I thought it was more of a play. So maybe I misunderstood the advertising or something like that, but I was glad I had a chance to go and see it. Are you going to see Motown this time?
I definitely will. I wouldn't miss it. You know, we've reviewed it. It's been through here before.
Mm-hmm.
It comes, actually, what's interesting is it opens the same night as Diana Ross's opening at Northrop.
Oh, wow. And that's sold out, right?
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. So
I wonder if she will stop by.
Well, that would be nice.
Wouldn't that be cool to go meet the cast if Diana Ross is in town? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool. Now, I just interviewed one of the members, and, you know, he plays different people like Lionel Richie, that sort of thing. But, you know, I loved it when I saw it a few years ago. I think it was 2 years ago it was here. When was the last time the Motown show was here?
I think that sounds about right. And, you know, what's interesting about it is, It's a jukebox musical and all of that, and it's their backstory, you know, Diana Ross and Barry Gordy. But it's really, as you say, it's all about the music. It's all about the music.
Yeah, and we know and love it so well, you know. So I'm just, I want to go see it again. I'm really hoping I can go and see it, because I've kind of figured you would be there. But what's on what's next for Rohan Preston?
Well, you know, I have to say that I'm actually off this week, but I'm going to be going to see both the Brave New Workshop, their newest show.
Oh, my gosh. I am
Gardens
so excited. I talked to them last week. First of all, the title is awesome.
It is. It is. It really is. And they, I mean, they're known for their titles, but really the remarkable thing, too, is that they put these shows together, so, and they're clever. So quickly, they're pressed for time. They're changing them on their deadline as headlines change, and it's really, really quite something. So I'm going to look into giving you a fuller profile of Caleb McEwen, who has directed their shows there.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
20 odd years.
He was in last week. I had a chance to talk to him last Sunday, and I told him, I said, this is one I have to go see, because first of all, they will have plenty to talk about, because it's ever changing every day. So there's something to add to the show, and I don't know how you ignore it, because look at what came out today with the whole CNN thing. I just...
Oh, you mean the wrestling and the threats of violence and all of that?
All of that. All of it. And we have more tomorrow, I can promise you that. So, you know, for those that are out there writing, keep writing. There is so much to put in shows today.
Oh,
and we
goodness.
Will come see it, okay?
Oh, my goodness. And by the way, also, I'd be remiss to not mention the new Griots Festival.
Oh, at the Guthrie.
At the Guthrie that opens on Thursday. Mm-hmm. It opens on Thursday and it goes for 10 days. That looks like it's going to be something to celebrate as well. It's a lot of young African-American, mostly African-American artists doing multi-genre, experimental, spoken word, poetry, dance, music, everything. It's kind of a renaissance festival of young artists.
Yeah, and if you call it the Griot, it's really about storytelling, right?
It really is.
Yeah,
it really is.
I really want to go to that. That's on my list. That's on my calendar. I hope I'll get there. So I hope to see you there. Rohan, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, and happy, happy 4th. And who knows? I'm going to try to see what we can do tomorrow.
Really?
Really? Because you do a family show there.
Yeah, we're there. Oh my gosh, I'm going to text you, okay?
Okay.
Take care of yourself, Ro.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. We're going to take a break, do a little bit of weather, and then come back with our next guest.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 9:32 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Center Stage, all things arts and I get it right, Geraldine. All things arts and entertainment that you should know about. And when I find out about it, I sure hope that we can let you know about it as well. There's so much going on, so make sure that you get out to all of the theaters and concerts and ballets and dance and comedy and so much more that the Twin Cities metro area has to offer. Well, I'm excited about my next guest tonight. Now, you just heard about the Motown musical, and you just heard from Rohan talking about Idiot's Delight, the play at the Park Square Theater. Well, now, here's something really different. The opening night of Reshaping Our World, Cinema Without Borders, is happening at the Walker Arts Center. It presents local stories and artistic vision from our Somali-American community here in Minneapolis. It's starring a largely local cast. It's called Astray, and it is the story of a young Somali-American down on his luck in Minneapolis. The film follows Adan. Is that how I pronounce it?
Yes.
Aiden, Adan. Adan, as he roams the streets of Minneapolis looking for direction in life. Yeah, we're all still looking for direction in life, which plays out through the forging of a friendship with a stray dog. In 2016, in English, 82 minutes, it's Astray is preceded by a screening of Rumi.
Mm-hmm.
Rumi, a documentary short series created by emerging local voices in our Somali community that share refugee stories from a strength-based perspective. Now, this performance artist is in our studio with us, and again, her name is Ifram Mansour, and she is part of the cast of the world premiere, really, of this piece called Astray. Welcome to CCO.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a mouthful, but I want to make sure that we get that we're clear on what this really is. When we talk about the Somali American community a lot here at WCCO, we've had the community, the Somali community, some imams in studio to really talk, not here on Still Talking, but during the full time hours. And we cherish that relationship and trying to build those bridges here in Minneapolis and beyond. When you put a piece together like Astray, it tells us a lot of the story, but it goes beyond that as well, correct? Tell us more.
Yeah, absolutely. What I love about Astray is that it manages to tell you a very sort of a universal experience of the refugee Muslim Somali experience of like finding home, finding belongings. But it tells it from this very unique, compassionate standpoint that we Somalis, Muslims, are not even aware of. And I feel like that is what the director Musa has done, is that he was able to find this stray dog, this thing that is kind of like the hook for Americans, because all Americans love dogs, maybe sometimes cat, maybe a little bit.
No, seriously, cat.
Dogs are number one, right? The number one pet. And I just love that mush, because it's just, I feel like the Somalis feel like our stories are being told, and then the Americans sort of see themselves in this universal global world that we all share. And I feel like it just does a beautiful job of connecting us all together.
Your story,
of all of us.
Excuse me for interrupting. Your story is being told. Do you think it's being heard?
We've got a lot of ways to go. Absolutely. Yeah.
What can we do to help that? I know that this particular piece is happening. I know that we're talking about it, but yet we can also see what's happening in our nation right now with this Muslim ban. And of course, Somali is on that list and so many other countries that you may even talk about in this piece. So that has to be very difficult, knowing that that exists at the same time that you're trying to bring us together to have an understanding.
Absolutely. I do feel like what we're doing right now, we are making space for the refugees, the Muslims, these people that are on a list, that are on a banned list, to tell their stories, for us to hear, for us to learn from one another. But we've got a long ways to go. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's called Reshaping Our World, Cinema Without Borders, which is so apropos. Reshaping, though, tell us why the word reshaping is there.
I believe this is this series is made by the MISNA. Mm-hmm. For me, what that means is that for too long, it feels like the Muslim and the refugee, the immigrant narratives have not been told so much that we're not even part of this greater community. I perform at the State Fair, and I feel like it's this giant, great get-together of all Minnesotans. And I'm amazed at the number of people that still see me as if that they've never seen me, and yet I would go back to South Minneapolis, and then I'll be a thousand. I'll be the Taudanist, which I'm gonna call it, Somali. Mm. And it's just it feels like we need to keep reshaping and redefining so that our voices can finally be heard.
But are you reshaping until it sticks? You know, you're trying to reshape it within the confines or the borders.
Exactly.
Of this country, and that has to be difficult to reshape it, trying to redefine and erase the borders. And here we are, more defined borders than ever before. So it just breaks my heart to watch all of this unfold, but then it gives me joy to know that here you are defining it for yourselves to forge forward and say, we have to reshape this, and we have to make sure that we get out who we are
Absolutely. And
how we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're trying to do that within the arts community, and I feel like when you use the power of art, it feels like everyone feels a little bit more opened, mm-hmm. because somehow their political views are not being attacked, or their personal beliefs are not being attacked, because you're putting this beautiful thing in front of them.
It's
and
one
I feel
of the
like
few things.
It,
excuse me, but it's one of the few things. Art is one of the few things that can arrest the hate. You know,
Absolutely.
it can either bring clarity,
mm-hmm.
it can bring love,
yeah.
and it can arrest all of that and make us sit down and listen.
Absolutely.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So this particular piece, what have you been hearing about it from those that have seen it?
I actually got to see the premiere when it premiered in South by Southwest. And I do feel like what most people are really connecting is kind of like seeing this intimate view and intimate look of this boy's journey, and how he's able to, throughout the film, how he's able to somehow prioritize being compassionate to this thing that is not even in his culture. And I feel like that is somewhat of what refugees and immigrants go through,
mm-hmm.
is that we go through this treacherous journey, yet we have this positive outlook in life, and we find ways to want to be part of whatever new society that we're in. So it's kind of mind-boggling to be on a list that is banned. Like, what are you really banning?
Right.
Yeah.
I do love that it's here in Minneapolis, considering we've had so many challenges in the Somali community.
Absolutely.
In Minneapolis.
Absolutely.
So hopefully this can really help enlighten us and bring us together. Of course, you and I both know that the African-American community and the Somali community has had a contentious relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I've talked to Somalis trying to figure out how we got here and how do we straighten it out and how do we move forward. What audience are you looking to see this particular piece, again, called Reshaping Our World, Cinema Without Borders?
I really hope it is all of us that come together. Especially now that we are also talking about the Black Lives Matter movement as well, because that includes us as well. And, you know, injustice to anyone should be injustice to all of us. And I think that we Muslims are also redefining our Blackness and what that means for us too, as far as being in this greater community. and not just living in silos and somehow like trying to deal with our own injustice and looking at those as if it's a separate thing. And I think, so I do see a lot of efforts that are bringing us together.
Well, you speak of living in silos, and I speak of thinking in
my
silos.
Goodness.
And
absolutely.
It's very difficult, but we can overcome it.
Yeah.
We've overcome even more before, so
yeah.
Together we will. And I'm hoping that the communities will really come together for this. Again, the particular piece that you are a part of, the film is Astray.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's based on a stray dog and the relationship with a Somali man.
Absolutely.
That's amazing, because like you said, dogs are not really a part of your culture at all,
not
right?
Not at all. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I want to let people know that this is happening on July 5th. This is Astray is played on Wednesday, July 5th at 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
at the Walker Art Center. If you want more information, all you have to do is go to walkerart.org. Walkerart.org. Go and see it. This is the performance artist in studio with me, Ifra Mansour. I really appreciate you stopping by tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right. I hope you'll have some barbecue or something on Tuesday, even though I don't know if you guys celebrate July 4th at all, but I hope that you will have some family time on Tuesday.
My friends do, so I will celebrate it with them.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. There are many more films as well in this particular night that is called Reshaping Our World, Cinema Without Borders. There are several other movies as well, and we'll talk about that later. I'll mention them as well. So, Ifra, again, thank you. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with my final guest, Dale Gruber, in this hour. And they're from The Blue Hazard. What is that? I know. I keep asking that, too. We're going to find out in just a moment. It is now 9:44 here at WCCO. Don't you love it? This is Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And you just learned a lot, a little bit about the Somali community and what they're trying to do to bring us all closer together, to have an understanding of who they are. No matter what, you know, the challenges that we see, and we automatically can make decisions based on what one person has done or what 12 people have done or even 100 people have done. But that community is so much larger than that. And they're trying to get a message of love out. They're trying to help all of us understand them as they are trying to understand us as a nation, as a city, as a community. And it's not easy. So anything that we can do to help, I hope that we will. And I know that we are on divided ends with this when it comes to Muslims that are refugees, those that are still trying to get into our country. And as you know, Somali is on that list for that band. So just a sweet spirit she had and came in here and just wanted to tell that story. And I really, really appreciate her doing that. I want to let you know, too, that there are some other parts of that Reshaping Our World, Cinema Without Borders. Again, that's happening July 5th, July 12th, July 19th, and July 26th. It begins with the show Astray, the movie, and that's July 5th at 7:30 at the Walker Art Center. But they also have a few others, like Wednesday, July 5th. Astray. Wednesday, July 12th, The Dupes is happening at Walker Art. Also, Wednesday, July 19th, The Cow. Wednesday, July 26th, Trapped in the Scene, short films. So Trapped in the Scene, short films. And these are stories of shifting landscapes and displacement told through cinematic works from countries such as Iraq, Yemen, and Syria. All three on the list. Right? Oh, no, Iraq is not on that list, but I apologize for that. But no, most of those on the list, Syria and Yemen for sure. So, wow. And then finally, I believe August 2nd, Taste of Cherry, which is preceded by a short film called Human Being. So go over to the Walker Art Center and check it out, and it will start a great conversation, conversations that we sure need to have, that's for sure. All right, I want to tell you about a few other concerts. I told you about the Steels. I have to keep telling you about that because I really want you to come and let your hair down and let all of that pain and anger out. We're going to have a really good time tomorrow night at the Dakota. Just go to dakotacooks.com and get the tickets. There are a few tickets left, and we sure look forward to seeing you there. Again, dakotacooks.com. I want to also tell you about Might As Well Be Dead, which is playing through July 30th at Park Square Theater. Fly By Night is through July 23rd at the Jungle Theater. Some upcoming concerts, Step Rockers Tuesday at Mystic Lake Casino. That's where I had a chance to see Patti LaBelle as well as Gladys Knight. Oh, my God, what a great venue. Great sound in that room. Joe Diffie is Friday at Medina Entertainment Center. And by the way, I didn't know who Joe Diffie was, but of course our in-studio coordinator knew exactly. His name is Kevin Reed. And I guess Joe was pretty popular in the late 80s and early 90s, I think he said. And Joe is kind of country. So if you want to go out and check that out, Medina Entertainment Center. Also, Jason Isbell, I-S-B-E-L-L, is Friday at the Palace Theater. I'm embarrassed to say I don't know who Jason Isbell is. I'll have to read about that. But that's at the Palace Theater. Basilica Block Party is happening Friday and Saturday. Hey Now, Andrew McMahon, Brandi Carlile, wow, AWOL Nation, Walk the Moon, and more. This, again, is Basilica of St. Mary, downtown St. Paul. That party is awesome. If you don't think Minnesota has, if you don't think the Twin Cities has beautiful people, go to the Basilica Block Party. It's ridiculous how many gorgeous people there are in every color, every height, every size. Just impressive, and it's beautiful, and it's becoming much more diverse, which I appreciate. At least it was the last time I was there, so I hope it's continuing. Music in the Zoo is the last one I want to mention. Music at the Zoo is Thursday, Ben Harper, and then on Sunday, next Sunday, it's Choo Choo Soul. And if you get a chance, go and look up the lineup at the Zoo. It's really incredible, and it's an amazing venue. If you don't think so, go and check it out. You will love it. Make sure you bring a cushion for those benches because they're like concrete and you want to sit on something soft because, honey, you'll get up and you won't feel nothing. You'll be numb from the waist down. All right, we're going to take a break. Do we have a guest already? Hopefully we'll have my guest on right away. We don't have to take a break. My last guest is Dale Gruber. And Dale is from, plays Hannah. Dale Gruber is part of Blue Hazard, and they were formed in 2000 in Stillwater. They are siblings. The names are Hannah, Luke, and Dale. The band initially played traditional bluegrass until it expanded with new members, Clara Wicklin and Uriah Nibby. Take a listen to this five-piece band.
Who do you think you are driving in that fancy car? All you got is a lot of talk, but I'm the one who's got to lose. Why do you wear that smile in that condescending style? Oh, it's worn out and misplaced on that face of yours. And you could tell this world of mine with your accent.
Oh, come on. You know that's happy music. Immediately, Kevin Reed started dancing in the studio. And that's really something. Dale, welcome to WCCO. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I hope I pronounced the names correctly. Good Lord.
Well, Uriah always gives people some trouble, but
Uriah
no
Nibby.
Problem.
Is it Nibby or yep. Nibby? Yeah, Nibby. Uriah Nibby. It's
yep.
a great name, though. It's a great name. So this five-piece band, you're having a release party coming up on Friday night at the Poorhouse, which is a great venue. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we scheduled that for the Poorhouse. Music starts at 7. We have a couple of opening bands. Fancy Babel and Brother Daniel will be opening up for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't wait. We're excited to release our new CD.
Now, you play fiddle in the band. You know, people come to see the listen to the fiddle player. I mean, that's an awesome position
yeah.
to have.
It's fun. I mean, fiddle's a pretty difficult instrument. I don't think I realized how difficult it was when I first picked it up, but it definitely grabs people's attention, which is real nice.
It really does. And, you know, you have vocals in the band, but even if it was an instrumental band and you were on the fiddle is the communicator. You know, it's kind of that instrument that we listen to. It speaks to us. Not every instrument
yeah.
speaks to us. It has to be in a collective. But the fiddle all by itself kind of speaks to us. Have you guys always had lyrics in your music, or do you also do instrumentals?
Yeah, we mostly have lyrics in our music. Early on, you know, we started playing when we were just kids, and my parents always told us, you know, if we can harmonize, we'll keep people's attention. So that was kind of the first the first trick kind of thrown in the bag, and then we obviously, you know, over the years we've improved as instrumentalists, and we have kind of a mixture of both, but probably the majority of music has lyrics in it.
Well, Dale, I have to tell you, you and I have a lot in common because I'm also with a family group. And, you know, it's interesting working together with your family because you can't run, you can't hide. They're your family, right?
That's the truth. You know, some days it's a gift and some days Well, it's probably always a gift, but a different kind of gift.
Maybe. Yeah, I love how you paused and thought about that. I feel your pain, my son. I feel your pain, dude. Because it is. It's really true. You can't get upset with each other because you have to work together. And you love it, but then sometimes you have challenges. And it amazes me. People don't expect us to have challenges, do they?
No, they don't. And it is, I mean, in some respects, it's nice because you can't run. I mean, if you got something not going right, I mean, you kind of have to sit down or else you'll see them at Christmas or Halloween or something. So you kind of have to work through things, but it also makes it easier because you know that people are kind of out for your good no matter what.
Yeah. You know, there was a survey that was taken years ago that asked the question of Americans, you know, if there was one vocation you wish or one gift that you had that you could do, what would it be? And the majority said singing or musician. And so that's an awesome responsibility for us. And it's not as easy as some people think in the sense of taking care of that gift. Here you are. You're one of the singers as well in the band, right?
Yeah. All of us actually play and sing, which is one of our kind of strengths. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, we play all around the region and people come up to us all the time and say, man, I wish I would have kept playing music. You know, and they played when they were younger and at some point they stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like every show we have a couple people come up and just reiterate how much they wish they could have played. And so we're always grateful. It's more a testament to our parents, I guess, when we were kids to make sure we stuck to it. But yeah, we're always grateful that we have that.
Yeah, same thing with us. But at the same time, it's really a challenge sometimes taking care of both of those gifts of playing an instrument and using the voice as an instrument. How do you balance the two and take care of both?
Yeah, it's especially hard playing fiddle because it's not a very common thing to have a fiddle player who sings at the same time. But I think because bluegrass, especially, you know, the choruses are really built just the way the genre is set up for three-part harmony or four-part harmony. You almost have to have that kind of practice of vocals in every song multiple times. But also after every chorus, you know, you have that instrumental break. You have an opportunity for solos. And so as soon as you're done with one, even just the genre of music forces you to practice the next, which is really helpful.
Tell me how you came up with the title Blue Hazard.
Do your parents
approve?
I do think they approve. I wish there was some great inspiring story. You know, when we were younger, our brother-in-law, who we looked up to quite a bit, he came up with the name and he basically combined bluegrass. So that's where the blue comes from. And then Dukes of Hazzard. So you put those two together, although I don't think we had ever seen Dukes of Hazzard. But because it was our cool brother-in-law, we ran with it as kids.
Wow. Well, it'll stick. I mean, when I heard that, I said, oh, wow, Blue Hazzard. What does it mean? Well, congratulations to you guys. And, of course, you got this big event coming up. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the biggest thing is we're coming out with our second CD, and we spent about a year recording it. It's all original music. We have four different songwriters. And then, yeah, on Friday night at the Poorhouse at 7, we're going to debut. We're going to play the whole album start to finish. And we're just really excited. I mean, you know how much effort goes into creating music, not just recording, doing all the kind of administrative work, but really trying to create songs that are powerful and compelling.
Yeah,
and we feel like we've done that.
When you do that, you know, it's really something because you're pouring out yourself over and over and over again through every song, and you're inspired and happy at the end, but exhausted at the same time. Are you doing other songs, or are you just sticking to that one album, and how many songs made it to the CD?
Yeah, so the CD's 10 songs. We'll play that, and then I think we have maybe 5 additional songs. So we'll play about 15 songs on the night. We'll have a few from our previous album. And then, yeah, so it could be a good mix, but we'll for sure cover all the new songs.
Well, congratulations to you guys. Again, this is Friday night at the Poorhouse, 7 o'clock p.m., I believe you said?
Yep, yes.
And if people want more information, is there a website?
Yeah, they can go to bluehazardband.com, or they can just go check out our Facebook page.
Okay.
Both of those spots will have the information.
And this is for ages 18 and up, right?
Correct. Yep. And it's the ticket price is $5 in advance. You can buy those through our Facebook page, or else $8 at the door.
Or $8 at the door. Congratulations to you and the family. I know it's a really big deal. Hannah, Luke, and Dale, as well as Uriah Nibby and Clara Wicklin. Congratulations to you guys. I hope you have a really great night on Friday night.
Thank you so much. Thank you for giving us this opportunity, and we're really excited.
All right. Thank you, Dale.
Yep. Have a nice night.
Well, that is our center stage for tonight. We hope you enjoyed it. Just remember that if you get a chance to go and see any of the shows that we suggest or any of the people we interview, you go and see whatever they're involved in. Let us know what you think about it. We'd love to hear what you think. You can write me at jsteele@wccoradio.cbs.com. Again, that's jsteele@wccoradio.cbs.com. And I'd love to hear what you think about what we're presenting. Well, coming up next, the Mom and Michael Hour is not on tonight. Michael is off tonight, but we have two great artists that are coming up in the next hour. You don't want to miss it. I also want to say thank you for all of you that have already gotten your tickets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.